Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Mystic Truth Radio. I am Elaine Reed Cole, and I am joined today by my wonderful co-host, Dana Zimmerman. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Elaine. Glad to be here. Welcome everybody who's joining us.
And we have a special guest today. Her name is Jeannie Schraff, and she is an equine specialist and also a dear friend of both mine and Dana. So, hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Elaine. Hi, Dana. Thanks so much for having me today.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Welcome,
absolutely. I find that this is a fascinating subject. You know, I really like to think that everything that we bring on to Mystic Truth is a fascinating subject, and this one especially, because, you know, this is horse talk. This is horse sense, and I absolutely love when we involve animals, when we involve the animal kingdom into our lives. They are such a resource that we have out there. And a lot of people don't utilize it or even know about it. So the more that we can bring information about that to the general public, I think the better off we are. So, Jeannie, let's give a little bit of background as to what it is that you do.
Well, thanks so much, Elaine. Well, I have a business, a local business called Mystic Mountain Retreat, with my partner, Diane Market-Gaston.
Okay, what's the local? You got a local business. Where are you located?
Yes, a local business, yeah, in Morgantown, West Virginia. So we're about 3 hours west of D.C.
Okay.
So that's where we are. And what we do together is plan and facilitate wellness retreats. So we will gather groups of people together for a single day or a weekend or 2 or 3 days and take them to the farm. Her farm is about 30 acres called Grateful Acres in Morgantown. And we interact and do various, and what this enables us to do is look at how we are in relationship to each other, how we are in relationship to groups, and how we respond to things. And it really helps people to understand what they bring to the table and helps them find their strengths, helps them discover what might be blocking them, and we can use the horses to help us move through these things and discover these deeper layers of relationship dynamics. So it's really, really fascinating. We typically partner with other local businesses to make it a well-rounded wellness event. So, for example, last year we partnered with a local yoga studio. So we had yoga in the morning. We had it personally catered by a personal chef who made these yummy, healthy lunches. And then, of course, we did the horse element outside in the field with the animals.
Okay. So your partner again, your business partner, what was her name again?
Her name's Diane Market-Gaston, and she is a licensed social worker here in Morgantown, has been a practicing therapist for years, and was actually using the horses to supplement her private practice for several years prior to this, and was one of the first in this area to begin doing that. And, you know, really became quite a resource and a useful tool for helping facilitate her sessions. And it just kind of evolved and developed into a desire to want to work with women in wellness, larger groups. And then we met a few years ago, and it was such a, one of those synchronistic moments where it's like, oh, my gosh, I need you, you need me, let's do this together kind of thing. So I'm really grateful that we've found each other and we've partnered, and we're starting to embark on this fascinating journey together.
Now, you actually answered the next question that I was going to ask you, which is how the two of you met. And truly, that was a divine orchestrated, you know, kismet type of thing. To have found somebody with such similar interests and strengths that you could actually kind of bounce off of each other and formulate this whole program that you have. Now, I know you've been holding these retreats, you know, or these wellness classes for a while. What is your general audience like?
Well, it varies. You know, we typically work with women a lot of times for the wellness events, and we will target different types of groups for that. But, you know, that said, we invite anybody to come. So it can be groups of, you know, like job environments. So if you have a group of people working in a particular organization and they're trying to understand what's working, what's not within the dynamic of the group at the workplace, we can help them with that, with understanding different roles and relationships, who does what best, and maybe, you know, kind of shift things around a little bit so things are more harmonious in the workplace. We can work with families, you know, whole intact families where mom and dad and the kids come. Again, typically looking at relationship dynamics and helping them to smooth out miscommunications and understanding what's working, what's not within the relationship itself or the family dynamic itself. And individuals as well. So it's really, you know, it's one of those things where we can apply to lots of different populations, but I would say for the most part, we typically draw in, you know, groups of women wanting a retreat-type experience in an outdoor nature-type setting, and that's what we tend to focus on.
Okay. Now, the person who, like, they hear this and they go, well, geez, you know, I could actually use some help in relationships and all that. Do they have to know anything about horses?
Absolutely not. That's the best part. And it actually is an asset for a lot of people to come not having any experience with the animals. What I found is that what I call the horse people and the non-horse people, so if you're a horse people, just kind of loosely defined, it would be somebody I would say has some experience with horses, either by riding, maybe taking some lessons, maybe they've been in a barn and just interacted with them on the ground. These types of people sometimes come with a lot of ideas about how they think it's going to go and some expectations of what the experience is going to be like. And we have to break that down a little bit at the beginning. So there's a little bit of a there's a little bit of a you know, a process we have to go through with that population, whereas opposed to the person who's coming completely free of any type of experience and they're basically empty, then we've got a really blank slate to work with, and it becomes a very powerful tool for transformation for these people because they really come in not knowing what to expect, and they're typically just completely blown away by what they discover about themselves and how the horses become their teachers.
That's an interesting point. Do you find if, you know, they are just that blank slate that you're talking about, that the horse itself actually has an easier time with that person?
The horse, from the horse's perspective, there's no easy or hard to it. They are just responding to whatever's being presented in the moment. So this is where, you know, it's one of the questions I get a lot is, you know, how does this work? And what is it that the horses are really showing
us?
And so let me, I mean, just to kind of get to give you some a foundational understanding of what this type of work is based on, you have to understand what the horse is and how they are as beings in their natural environment. So they've got several attributes that allow us to use them as a tool, and how those attributes come together is what makes them such powerful teachers for us. They're prey animals. And what I mean by that is out in the wild, they are the animals that are hunted. So, you know, I'm not talking about humans hunting animals. I'm talking about larger animals using the horse for food. So for a mountain lion or, you know, something, a large predator is going to be looking for the horse and looking at it as a potential source of food. So the horse has evolved over the thousands of years that they've been here to learn how to survive, right? So from that need to survive, they've developed these attributes that become very valuable for us now, again, using them in this type of work. And one of them is that they're constantly scanning their environment for danger. So, you know, they have to be hyper aware of what's going on around them. They always have to be on the lookout for that mountain lion that might come up over the crest of the hill. They're smelling, they're sensing, they're looking, they're feeling, they're sensing changes in energy in the environment, the wind, anything that's different is going to alert them to a potential danger or not. So this is the first piece that gives them this, basically, this ability to be present. It's not even really an ability as a skill. It's just it's a natural part of who they are. They are present moment masters, basically. They're in the present moment. So what this does for us, when we throw ourselves into the mix, and for Diane and I, when we have a client and they come to the barn and we put them in the middle of the herd, it instantly gives us information about who that person is. And it gives that information in real time. So the horse is going to respond and it's going to exhibit behaviors based on what it is picking up from this person that is suddenly in its environment as part of the herd. So a lot of questions are being in that moment. And the question from the horse's perspective is, who are you? Who are you?
Okay.
Who are you? Right? And the answer, you know, the first answer that the horse is wanting in that moment is, are you safe? Are you not? Are you a predator? Are you not? Is there danger? Is there not? And then from there, it will be refined, and you'll begin to see whether or not you're being accepted as part of the group in the herd. Are you an outsider? Are you trustworthy? Are you an actual leader? Are you, you know, there's just lots of different refinement questions that come from that basic question of, are you a danger or are you not? So
now, explain to me a little bit about, because this is like totally fascinating that, you know, you read the interaction there. So I'm wondering what it would actually look like. What would you be witnessing if someone was accepted into the herd? Or if they weren't accepted into the herd, what does that physically look like when you're witnessing it?
Right, that's a great question. So one of the things that I talk about a lot is this idea of what I call incongruency. And what that means is, this would be an example of somebody that might not be accepted right away into the herd. What I mean by incongruency is that a person is not matching up their behavior, their outer behavior, their words with the energy and emotion that they're carrying inside. So because there's a mismatch there, the horse is going to respond in such a way that expresses distrust. So they're not, you know, as humans, this is one thing that trips us up as humans in human relationship, because we come together and we speak to each other, and we communicate, and so much of our focus is on the verbal. And what we don't realize is there's so much information being passed back and forth between us nonverbally that we tend to miss. And you may have experienced this, where you have an interaction with somebody, and if you were to write down the words that were exchanged and then read it from a piece of paper, it was like, well, that seems okay, but why did I leave feeling so crappy? Or why did I leave feeling so edgy, or why am I angry? Or, you know, there's all of this energetic exchange that occurs that we tend to not notice. So the horse, that's the horse is only focused on that, because they can't obviously understand English, right?
Right.
So their language is the language of energy and emotion. So you're going to see right away if you have somebody who's mismatched in that regard, the horse is going to respond, you know, maybe they're going to respond by showing some anxiety in, you know, within the herd. They might start running around, the heads might go up, there might be a burst of adrenaline, you know, the eyes might get wide, there might be some snorting, that kind of thing, and they move away. And again, looking at, it's important, you know, for me, one of my jobs is to help people to understand what's going on around them and to translate the communication that is coming from the animals, because every horse is going to respond differently as well to any given situation. Just like people, we have different personalities, different way of dealing with things. The horses are different as well. You've got the extroverts and the introverts, and they process things differently. So that's part of what I help people understand is what we're seeing here and what does that mean in this moment and how does it relate to you and your energetic dynamic.
So this, again, so fascinating. What the horse does, of course, there's other animals out there who will do the same thing because, again, that is their nature, is to read energetically. But so you have a person, say, you know, who's in the middle of the herd and there's the dynamics aren't quite so good. What will you do to make it so that you can smooth this out and actually get the person to be their authentic self?
Right, right. That's a great question. So typically what a session will look like, we often start by just in observation mode. So I'll take somebody out, we'll be in the middle of the field, and we'll just start observing the herd. And one of the first questions I will ask somebody is, who are you drawn to? So right away, that's going to give me some information about who they are. And what's so interesting about that question, you know, if I were to ask that person a question in the barn away from the horses, they might say, oh, I'm always drawn to the underdog.
Okay.
You know, I want to
yeah.
help the person who can't be seen. And then when they're in the real life environment experience with the herd, I find that they're drawn to the leader of the pack or the leader of the herd. And I'm like, oh, isn't that really interesting? They align themselves energetically with the leader, yet they don't identify that within themselves.
Huh.
So that might be a moment when, you know, we've got a latent strength in there that's not being pulled out. So that's kind of question one, just kind of little examples. Who am I drawn to? So from there, then if we throw them into the entire herd and look at it as a group dynamic and things, you know, we'll ask for certain outcomes and just to kind of play with different types of interactions and see what arises from that. So I might say, okay, take this halter and this rope, and I want you to catch and halter the horse that you identified as the one you're drawn to. So this is where it might start to get a little sticky, right? So say this person enters the herd and they all scatter, or say this person enters the herd.
Like, where'd you go? Where'd you go?
Yeah. All of the horses that they don't want come in, and the one that they do want walks away. So, you know, the first question I always ask, because this is not an outcome-driven experience. It's not necessarily about achieving a goal. So if we never actually halter the horse, that's okay. Really,
okay.
What we're looking for is, what is your experience and what meaning does this hold for you in this moment? Because then we can look at it as a metaphor to other areas of life and other relationships that the person may be experiencing out in the real world. So, for instance, again, to kind of carry on this example, if they walk into the herd and, you know, we'll just use a simpler one, if the horse they're wanting walks away from them, one person might view this as rejection. Another person might view this as an exciting challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can see how it's really one of the important pieces of this is for us to always, as facilitators, to always ask for and allow the person who's participating to be active in their understanding of what is occurring around them.
Okay.
Because then it gives them a sense of what happens out in the real world. Why is it that when I want so-and-so to connect with me and I approach them and they get mad, you know, maybe it's a parent-child relationship and they get mad and they walk away from me. This feels really familiar when
right.
I do this. You know, if this is happening with the horse, that's another question that I'll ask. Does this feel familiar to you? And that might be the response I get. Wow, yeah, it feels just like when my kid just walks away from me.
You know,
right.
This has so, totally piqued my curiosity. Like, I want you to put me in the middle of the herd right now.
Come.
I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see, and I swear I won't be offended if they walk away. Because
yeah.
I can almost hear people's, you know, wheels turning like, well, what if all the horses walk away with me and they won't play with me, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
But you don't know. You don't know until you try
don't.
It. You don't.
Yeah. So, again, just to resolve this hypothetical example for you, Elaine, if the next question I would be, is this okay for you? This is what I would ask the person, is this okay for you? And usually the answer is no. You know, when something like that happens, it's a little uncomfortable. They want to resolve it. They want to fix it, make it feel better. So we talk about what is going on for them first and what they might change, what do they, you know, it's if there's some processing that goes on that is going to be different from person to person. But if we were to carry this further and look at it as a metaphor for a human relationship, one of the questions I might ask is, you know, again, that what could we do differently, and kind of playing around with approach and retreat and connection and just using that animal in that moment as our guide for what feels good, what's working and what's not, they might discover that their approach in human relationships is too abrupt. It might be too linear and pointed and, you know, kind of like you've got, because remember, as humans, we already are the predators from the horse's perspective. We stand on two legs. A lot of people eat and smell like meat. And, you know, it puts them on edge. But what it does is it teaches us some things about ourselves and relationships that we can't see human to human because we're all already in that predator mode and we don't realize it. So if we were to soften that and change that moment of trying to make contact to where you can connect and then engage in a relationship, it might be that instead of approaching head on, it's like, I decided, I have my mind made up, that's the worst I want, I'm going to walk straight over in a beeline, and they're like, oh my God, I'm out of here. So if we, we do this with a human.
I can see it in my mind, yes.
Yeah, yep. We do this with a human and the same thing happens, then it's like, wow, how could I change my approach? Well, for a horse, maybe if you approach at the shoulder, maybe if you face the same direction and you're side by side in relationship in a shared, more equal peer type dynamic, then there's more tolerance for your presence there.
Okay.
So it's a softer approach, and they practice this and use it and see the feedback and see how it changes in the moment, and these light bulbs go off for people. They're like, oh, so, you know, so then they can apply it. Well, it's like, well, how could you translate that to a human, this human relationship that's troubling you? Wow, I could invite my daughter to sit down at a table side by side, and we look at something together that has nothing to do with whatever the problem is, right? So it's like a shared experience. We're in the relationship position, which is side by side facing the same direction instead of that confrontational eyeball-to-eyeball position.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And experiencing that in, again, that horse-human dynamic, they're gonna know what that different type of approach feels like and then be able to do it out in the real world. And when people do these, I mean, tiny little changes, but they come back and they're just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe how much better this is with that tiny little subtle change.
Yep, that little tweak. So, in other words, too, not only your attitude, but also your movement. Like you said, you know, people who beeline right for that one particular horse, which the horse may actually look at it like, oh, my God, it's coming after me.
Right.
And sometimes, yeah, we might do that to people that we know. We're just like, we're right there.
Yep.
But to soften that a little bit and, you know, don't just like, oh, my God, I'm going to come here and I'm going to get into your space, you know, stand a foot away from you and you haven't even really invited me in.
Exactly.
That can certainly put people off. So to kind of tweak that. Now, have you ever found that somebody who maybe the way that they showed up and the way that they dressed put the horse off?
You know, it's not so much about appearance than it is, the energy
attitude.
And the emotion that they're carrying, an attitude.
Yep.
It's the invisible stuff.
Yeah. So nobody who, say, you know, they've decided to have, you know, purple dreadlocks or something like that, it doesn't,
No,
it doesn't throw the horse off at all from it.
No, definitely
so,
not.
You know, I want to make that point because there might be people who are like, yeah, horses just don't like me. I just don't know why. And, you know, they might be thinking it's that. but it's probably not.
It's probably not. Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that, because it brings up another really important point and something that we explore quite often, and it's the idea of how we as humans anthropomorphize. So, you know, for a lot of people look at horses and they say, oh, that horse doesn't like that. That horse doesn't like me. That horse likes that. And it's okay. There's a really subtle line that gets crossed that gets us into trouble. Because, yes, it is important in any relationship to understand what the other, where the other is comfortable, what the other needs, what the other prefers. Right. So, again, using the horses as our relationship other in that moment, we're looking at, well, what does the horse like and what is it experiencing right now? Now, the line that we cross where we get tripped up that will cloud our human relationships is when our well-being becomes dependent upon the partner's well-being. And you see this a lot with animal lovers. And I'm not criticizing anybody because I am the biggest animal lover out there. So this is not a criticism, but I would invite everybody to look at whether or not they are allowing their own well-being to be affected by the well-being of the animals. And it travels then too. It's like if you're hooked in that sense, if the well-being of my animal is not okay, I'm going to try to find a cause. And I think it's that over there, and I think it's that person over there. And you see how it starts to travel out in terrain. Then you are at the mercy of not only this like traveling energy dynamic that's moving away from you, where you become a victim of and powerless within that dynamic, because everything has to be okay around you in order for you to feel okay.
Right.
So if somebody comes to me and says, that horse doesn't like me, that would be a red flag to me, that they may get caught in codependent dynamics based on this idea of projecting feeling onto others that doesn't necessarily belong to the other, and then to also allow that assumption to color and affect how they are in their own skin. And that's an unhealthy line that we want to try to learn how not to cross.
Codependency with animals, that is, an interesting thought. You know, I've explored a lot of codependency in my work, too, and hadn't really thought about it with the animals, and that's a fascinating point right there, too. We do have a tendency to measure our well-being against those who are around us when it really doesn't involve us at all. But I hadn't thought about with the animals. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, well, it's really because the animals are mirroring, they're a reflection of who we are in any relationship.
Right.
So the fact that we can talk about, and we do talk about in the wellness world, this idea of codependency and how much we get caught in it, how can we recognize it, how can we create more clear boundaries for ourselves, how can we still stay safe and do that. All of these questions, all these discussions that we've had for years about codependency tells us that it's already there. It's not that this is a new idea. What might be new is looking at how we can explore this dynamic with our animals the same. It's not any relationship that we have is going to be similar to the other relationships that we experience in some way. You know, it's kind of like the idea, how I do one thing is how I do everything.
Right.
So when we acknowledge that, then it opens up the doorway for you to begin to heal and really understand and explore that dynamic in a safer place, because when you do it with your animals, you don't have the confusing and more complicated pushback from another human that would add to the mix when you do it in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very, very powerful.
That people, no matter what animal that they have, they can actually apply this principle in their own lives?
I do. Though I think horses are a more powerful transformational tool simply because they are so much bigger than we are.
Right.
There's a sense of presence. You know, we could do this kind of work with, like, with elephants, but I don't have elephants here. Right. Because they are bigger, it commands more of our attention. This is actually called attentional bias, the fact that humans are naturally designed to notice and pay attention to animals. And it's a survival mechanism that was built in, and it's just part of who we are. We're like, oh, I noticed that. There's movement over there. Oh, it's an animal. Am I in danger? Kind of those instinctual questions that go on underneath the surface that you don't necessarily notice. Now, when you're in that mode and you're noticing an animal and it's a big animal, then it's like, whoa, okay, now you've got all my attention.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it strips you of being able to hold up any pretense. You really become who you are in that moment. And I think that's, you know, when you ask that question, can we do this with any animals, the answer would be yes, but I would say that horses give you a more powerful experience simply because of that factor of bigness and the presence
of the size
that comes with it. Yeah, and it kind of commands our attention, and we kind of sit up and like, oh. And it's, again, it's an instinctual response of I have to stay safe. This doesn't mean that horses are dangerous, but it does give us, again, a greater opportunity to enter into a profound healing experience because of that that energy that gets
that dynamic
presented.
Yeah,
like, wow. Yeah.
You had mentioned elephants, and I keep picturing myself in front of an elephant and how comfortable would I feel. And I keep thinking, I'm not comfortable.
Right.
The size of it is so large. You know, it's like one wrong step, or if it decides to sit down, you better not be in the way. And you know, that is a thought. Wow. Intimidation by size. Let's be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Horses, different story, although I have been around some horses before that have made me a little bit intimidated. Other times, you know, it's a very different experience. They're very gentle, and I feel very calm and okay around them. And, you know, some of that might be my attitude of that day, or some might be the attitude of the horse for the day. You know, those kinds of dynamics. But I do know what you're talking about, because anytime I'm around a horse, I am very aware. And, you know, it is different when you got, you know, a cute little kitty cuddling around your feet, or, you know, even a dog or something. Or a gerbil, we really don't have that same kind of response to them. Now, in saying that, is there a certain breed of horse that is more adapt to this kind of work than other breeds of horses?
From what I've experienced so far, my first, you know, I haven't worked with every breed, so I can't answer that with all certainty, but my first response would be that it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Because the horse is a horse, and really the attributes that we are leaning into are the same across all breeds. So it's this idea of being the horses being present, the idea of the horses noticing and reading the information and energy and environment, and then because kind of moving further for them needing to survive, they've banded in groups and herds. And that is another piece that we use, communicate the information they're picking up to other group members. And for somebody like me, I can read that behavior, that information, and translate it for other people. And you're going to find those pieces and also their size. So those four things that I mentioned, that they're being present, picking up information, communicating that information in a group dynamic, and their size, that's going to be there regardless of the horse breed. So you know, I would say that it wouldn't matter. The thing that might feel a little different is the flavor or the, almost like a dialect. So if you're, you know, we're looking at language within horses, the different breeds feel like they have a little bit of a different accent to me.
Does that make sense?
So,
it does.
For example, a thoroughbred tends to be more high-spirited and more expressive. So the information is going to be louder that comes to me, whereas maybe a quarter horse will be a little softer, more subtle in how they transmit that communication. Now, it's still going to be the same information. It's just going to come through a little differently.
Okay. Okay. Now, let's get into you and horses.
I have a question boarding off at Jeannie. I was just wondering, Jeannie, then, are the horses that you use, you know, you say that the herd is a powerful thing, but are the horses that are in your program, are they chosen specifically to be in the program, or is it sort of just more of like a random herd? Do you decide which horses are going to be therapy horses?
Typically not. You know, any horse can be useful in different ways. So, and they're always going to be responding differently to different people. So I would, you know, any animal that comes to us, we usually are able to use. Now, there are exceptions to that, and there are specific moments when I might say if I'm trying to address a specific issue where I would say, let's work with this horse because that's going to be helpful for you to explore this particular dynamic. You know, an example would be, I had somebody come to me who, this was a woman who struggled with boundary violation. So, you know, she didn't have a voice. She wasn't able to speak up for herself. She got pushed around a lot at work, stepped on, that kind of thing. I didn't know her story prior to, but when, you know, one of the first things I will do when working with somebody individually is just hand them a horse and say, lead the horse from here to that tree and come back. Well, it showed up immediately. I mean, this is a horse that is usually very cooperative and easy to get along with. And this lady was pushed around, you know, nose in the back, knocking you out of the way, almost got stepped on. So right away I saw the potential for boundary violations showing up between her and the horse. So that's what we started to talk about. So then from there, it's like, oh, okay, so if this is not okay for you, and obviously it wasn't, it was very uncomfortable, and she wanted to learn how to be stronger within herself and create safe space around her, we picked a particular horse to work with to do that. And, you know, there are times when that will show up. It's like, this horse is good for that, or that horse is good for this. But, you know, it just depends. You know, a lot of times it's the group herd. If I've got several people there, we'll just work with everybody all together and, you know, process whatever comes up. But I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did.
I think yes.
Totally.
Now, Jeannie, I want to know, how long have you been working with horses? Like, what brought you to the horse farm to begin with?
Oh, yeah.
Did you grow up with them?
Yeah. Well, I was wanting horse and wanting to be able to stay horse from my earliest memories of being a little tiny kid. I started, my first interaction with the horse was probably when I was about 4. You know, it was like a family vacation, and we stopped at some barn on some scenic route, and they did trail rides, and I was on this little pony named Lightning. And, you know, it was just love at first sight from that moment on. And from there, when I was a little bit older, I started taking riding lessons and did that weekly for several years and then started showing. And it just started to progress. And by the time I got to college, I was working as a working student at a local barn and going to horse shows. And then once I moved, we actually moved out toward Dana's area near Philadelphia. And I was riding hunter jumpers, which is a specific type of discipline within the horse world, showing every weekend, sometimes 5 shows a month, and also working for another lady at another barn. Really kind of had my foot in 2 different disciplines during that time period, and was traveling as far north as Vermont, Canada, down to West Palm Beach, Florida. So that was like my complete immersion into the horse world, and really at that point was, you know, exposed to so many talented riders and trainers. And I really started to understand and develop my ability to develop connection and what we call feel and you know, when we're teaching. And so from there, when we came back to this area, I was so gung-ho and so enthusiastic and wanting to really share this new knowledge that I had with kids and families that really didn't have access to that kind of experience in where I grew up in West Virginia. So I started teaching. I was partners in a local barn where we had lessons and just kind of did the kid thing and the family thing and did that for many years. And it was kind of like it was my job, but I was split because I was starting to have my own children. So I was juggling a lot during that time. Mm-hmm. And how they came together is just so still fascinating to me because I never really expected to be doing this. I had my love and my passion for horses, but at the same time, I was also a secretive bookworm, and I was really wanting to understand how to be happy in life and all those big questions that we ask: why am I here? What is my purpose? What is the meaning of all of this? And that's been with me since I was before high school as well. And lo and behold, about 3 years ago, these two huge passions merged into one. I was at the time teaching typical riding lessons and giving people a skill set, and it felt good, and it was satisfying, but there was something that was missing for me. And I found myself really drawn to the people and the students who came who were seeking that deeper understanding and really what is this relationship mean to me? Why is the horse acting this way? I want to understand. What is my role in it? And it just evolved from there. And
I think
I shared
that's
earlier,
around when I met you was around that time.
Yes, it was about 2012.
At, uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we were out in San Diego at an event, and that's when we first met. And the changes that you have gone through are magnificent. To be able to see where you've come from. You know, you were a girl who worked with horses, and what am I going to do with it? And now to have developed this amazing skill and to be applying it and making these huge changes in people's lives from what you do. I mean, this is prime example of how anything you've done in your life prior to this moment can be utilized in the future. You don't know how it's going to come up. You don't know how you're going to use it. And here you go. If you have faith and, just this is what I want to do, if you have clarity of intention, then, the universe will do its best to try to find a way to bring it about. So here you go, Jeannie. Yay. Let's have it out there. So, I feel privileged to have been able to witness that change, and I'm sure, Dana feels the same way. We should mention now the coaching background that we actually all have is we're all master teachers of the Envision process, which is a trademark process by the fabulous Colette Baron-Reed. So, that's how we all have this amazing connection, and we all use that education in a different kind of way. We all have our own little tweaks about it, and this is how Jeannie shines, is through this. So the retreats and the workshops and all that, Jeannie. So somebody decides, okay, I've been listening to this program. This sounds really good. I really don't know anything about horses. I know I'm going to get into the middle of the herd of it and all that. Is this a tactile type of workshop? Like, will they be brushing the horses? Will they be riding the horses?
It's very hands-on. Now, we don't do any riding. We just do everything else. So, they will be touching them, brushing them, haltering them, leading them, moving them. Sometimes we take them through an obstacle course, or we'll build an obstacle course. A favorite is if get a group together and say, okay, I want you to choose something within the environment that you see here to represent some obstacle to you. They pick it, and then they place it somewhere, which will have meaning for them. And then they move the horse through it, and how they go through it might help them understand what's working, what's not working, again, out in the real world with this particular issue that it's representing. And it is very hands-on. They will be touching the horses and interacting with them, talking to them, engaging, and getting a response and reaction, and then talking and processing about it.
Now, I have heard before, and this makes me think, because, of course, you know, you're very visual with your description of it, so thank you. But so what if you have a child, which you've probably gone through this, who is maybe, you know, a bit on the autistic side or edge, and have you ever seen, like, any changes with them coming about, or even just children in general working with them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I haven't worked directly with autistic kids. Diane, my partner, has. So she, if she were here, she would have some great feedback for you. But that, I, from what I do know and what I've witnessed, absolutely, yes. I mean, it is what happens with people who don't connect the way we typically do, where, you know, you've got, you kind of go through a series of steps when we make a connection, we're in relationship. You may walk up somebody, make eye contact, there may be small touch, there may be a verbal exchange. When those elements are missing, then the question becomes, how can I reach this person? How can I communicate? How can I discover what they need, what they don't like, what they do like, what's working? How can I help them move and become more effective as far as them being able to, again, not necessarily verbalize, but communicate what's going on for them? The horse has become the mediator. And what can happen is, you know, somebody may be really shut down and they come into the barn and just immediately connect. So it could be just a touch of the fur. And, we don't have to necessarily do these more elaborate exercises that I was describing a few minutes ago, where we take objects and do little horses and walk through the field. None of that has to occur. It may be just as simple as standing next to and touching, or holding a brush and, you know, offering some care. And in that process, it tends to kind of break down. And what it feels like to me is it calms the overstimulation that can occur for lots of people, because it can be hard for them to process so much that comes in all at once and become overwhelming. So when you have a being that is present in such a large way, and they're in that presence and in that moment able to, it's almost like the horse absorbs and kind of becomes the diffuser of all of that. It feels like electric energy that is around for these people that they don't know what to do with. And when that starts to calm them, then you can begin to open up a communication that you might not be able to do without the horse there. So it's a very powerful and can be a very transformative tool for people with autism. So, yeah,
nice.
Definitely. I've not just done it directly.
Right. Now, I know you have a retreat coming up in October. Now, is there still space within that retreat? Or
there is. Yeah, we don't
take
a lot of people because we like these to be intimate. And experiences where people can really get some one-on-one time with all of the animals. But we do have some space, and it is going to be on a Saturday. It's a single-day event in October 17th. Uh-huh. It will be here in Morgantown at Diane's Farm, Grateful Acres, which is easy to get to from the interstate if anybody's traveling. It's $150 for the day per person, and that includes a healthy lunch, some snacks, and water throughout the day, and it will run from 9 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon.
And that's an amazing deal. So anybody who is listening to this, if you have the time and all that, that is a great deal.
Yeah.
You're crazy to not take up on
it. It's a great way for people to get their feet wet with it, to really see what it's all about without making a big commitment and really haven't feel like they have to carve out a lot of time out of their week.
Right. Now, would that be appropriate for families, or is this more geared to women, or is it just open to whoever?
It's really pretty open. The last one that we did, we drew in a group of women So it became more of a, you know, a wellness-focused event for women, learning how to manage stress and overwhelm kind of thing. But this is, it really is open. So depending on who we end up within the group and in the sign-ups, that will help us determine what the focus is going to be. So if we have a couple of families that come, then, you know, it might be a focus on family dynamic, which would be fabulous.
Okay. If somebody wanted to travel and all that, do you have places that you refer them to be able to book rooms and all that, you know, accommodations and stuff?
Yeah, we don't accommodate people at our place, but there are a couple of hotels that are very nice and easy, convenient access to getting there.
Right.
And if anybody is interested in doing that and they do need to travel and need a place to stay, they can contact me and I can help them with that.
That's beautiful. Now,
and Jeannie, that I'd be familiar with Morgantown. It's not like West Virginia out in the boondocks. Morgantown's a college town and easy to get to and that kind of thing, right?
Definitely. Yeah, we're in town. You're not out in the middle of nowhere. And there's a huge choice of awesome restaurants and other activities that you can do. Yeah, it's a fun place to be and explore. We've got Cooper's Rock right down the road, which is we're looking for a really beautiful nature setting. It's stunning and it's very close. It's like 10 minutes away. So we've got all the convenience of good food and being in a little town, but then also close to getting out and feeling like you're getting a nice little escape. So,
if someone had a group of people and they actually wanted to call you up, would you and Diane actually put together a workshop for that group of people?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's for anybody who's listening out there going, geez, I'd like to do that. I bet you so-and-so would like to do that, too. Oh, and they have their brother and they have their sister and, you know, and they'd like to do it, too. Well, I suggest you pull together some people and, you know, take a trip for yourself. There is accommodations that are nearby. Jeannie and Diane would be, you know, probably more than happy to cater an experience to what it is that you're looking for. You know, they'll apply all their know-how. And I just think it's fascinating. I want to move to the middle of the herd and see what happens.
Come on.
Yeah, I really like the idea that a group of people in a workplace that have to work together as a team could all come as a group and figure out with the horses how to better cooperate with one another and work towards a common goal.
Oh, yeah.
It's really powerful. And it's similar. One of the things that I often help people understand and wrap their head around it is it's similar to ropes courses. A lot of people have heard of ropes courses, especially when you're talking to people in work environments like that where they want to improve group dynamic. So you get the aspect of experiential learning where you are learning more about yourself and you're engaging in activities with the intent of looking for reflection from the environment and how you respond to it, helping you discover who you are, how you approach problems, how you access strengths. And you're doing all this through literally doing. And that's the experiential part of it. So it's really, really fun instead of, you know, the more passive experience, which is just as powerful and profound where you sit and talk, maybe to a therapist or a coach, or you attend a lecture or an empowering talk. This is more learning by doing, which adds an element of fun. You get to be outside, and then we add in the element of the powerful being of a horse into the mix, and it's like, whoa. Okay, this is awesome. So I'm going to be a little biased, but it's really fun and powerful.
Now, I think this, too, would be an amazing thing to do with, like, a Girl Scout and Boy Scout troop.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. You know, I'm just thinking, because I think the earlier that you can introduce a human being to this kind of interaction with an animal, the better off the world will be. You know, let's look at them as the creatures that they are. You know, a lot of them have had no contact, and so they don't know just how valuable we are to them and they are to us.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I would love to see that. We're sending all the kids Jeannie's way.
Yay.
Be prepared.
We just had a big thing here in Pennsylvania where a local team went to the a local little league team went to the World Series and won the United States World Series. So, I mean, something like that too, where a team of I guess you could apply it not only to kids but to any kind of sport team, where
yep.
they could go in a group and with the horses learn each other's strengths and weaknesses, so that
yep.
they can learn to work together as a team better. I mean, there's
absolutely.
There's so many cool applications for this, Jeannie.
Yeah, there is. There is. So, anything else you want to actually bring up on today's show, Jeannie? You know, it's
just to say thank you, and I'm so grateful to have had this opportunity to be here today and share a little bit about what I do and talk to you guys. And so just a big thank you.
Tell the people how to get hold of you and how to sign up for your retreat if they want to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's really easy. Just go to our website, which is mysticmountainretreats.com.
All right. And all the information is on that, right?
Yeah, and it makes sure that you add the S, Mystic Mountain Retreats. It's plural.
Okay.
Because there is
okay.
a Mystic Mountain Retreat that is way far out west that has to do with something completely different that's not us. So
okay.
if you find the
okay.
one with the green across the top and it starts talking about horses in Morgantown, then you know you found it.
Okay. Now, people can also find you on Facebook also, right?
Yes, I am on Facebook, so anybody can send me a message or send a friend request with a message that they're wanting to learn about the horses. They can also connect to us through our Facebook page, which is Mystic Mountain Retreats as well.
Okay.
Easy to find.
Okay.
So there are a couple of ways
now,
to get in contact with us.
Now, I do want to say, because we just had another caller come on, and if they do have a question, they should press 1, and then we'll know that you actually have something that you want to interject here. So, and if you really don't have something.
Yeah, that's a raised
okay.
hand.
And they did. Okay, so let's unmute them and see, so we won't call it quits yet. And, okay, you are unmuted, caller.
Hi. My question is, do you do work long distance? I live in Oregon. My daughter's really into horses, and I could see this benefiting her. So with technology, say Skype or something?
I do coaching sessions over Skype, but I don't have the ability to give you the experiential piece of it where you're working with the horses. But that said, what I've
if
done
she's working
is,
with her own horse, though?
Right, yeah. I've given what I can do is give people exercises to go and try with their horses, and they come back, and we talk about the process, what's going on in the relationship, and work from there. So, yes, I do that. It's just a little different than if you were to be here with me.
Okay, great.
Very
thank
good
you.
Question, though. Thank you, caller.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, very interesting thought. Yes, because, of course, all coaching things generally are done long distance. So especially if they have a horse that they can work with, that is, like, really fascinating, and you can interject into that. So I love that, Jeannie. Good question.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got that question, because that's one that was important to answer, yes. You can do it long distance. Jeannie can coach you long distance.
Yep.
Wonderful.
And one that I hadn't thought of, so yay.
Yay, thank you.
Yay.
An important point.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, all right, so they can find you on Facebook also, Jeannie, and
all the information is on the Mystic Truth Radio Facebook page, too. We have Jeannie tagged, and we have Mystic Mountain Retreats tagged. To reach her or to reach Mystic Mountain Retreats. So they can go to Mystic Truth Radio page on Facebook as well.
Perfect.
Yes, and we do encourage everyone to go on to the Mystic Truth Radio page on Facebook, like us and follow us. That's awesome. We also have a new website just been published. It's www.mystictruth.net, and you can sign up there to get our emails and stuff. Again, it was just posted, so yay, you know, we're reaching out to people as much as we possibly can. And Jeannie, I want to thank you so much for being on today. This was a really awesome and very informative show. And again, you make me proud, girl.
Oh, well, thank you, Elaine. I appreciate it. And
absolutely.
Yeah,
all right. And
we're
this
so glad
is,
to have you, Jeannie. Thank you so much.
So happy to have you. And so this is Elaine Reed Cole for Mystic Truth Radio, and you can find us, again, on Facebook. You can also go to my website, www.thewingedmystic.com. And Dana.
And I'm Dana Zimmerman. You can find me on the Mystic Truth Radio Facebook page. You can find me on Facebook or at www.danazimmerman.com. And so, again, we want to thank Jeannie for joining us, and everybody who is listening or is listening via podcast, thank you for our caller for the question. And until next week, then, Elaine.
Let's keep talking about it. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.